Thank you, Chad and Becca. Exciting times at the creek. There is a team safely on the ground in Greece, a mission team going there to work with a church plant, the Titcheners who came from the creek, and excited about those missionaries that go out in the name of Christ. And we have some folks from our Messianic ministry who've been witnessing up in Brooklyn and now on their way to Israel. And not only that, we got some folks going down to Florida, and we got some folks, the Richland Creek Riders, met this morning, and they took off to somewhere in North Carolina preaching at some church. So just go home and watch the news. I'm sure you'll find out about whatever that was. And exciting times at the creek as we go out in the name of Christ in obedience to His command, as He has said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where He says, "But you will receive power when My Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts, remotest part of the earth." And so Jesus said that we are His witnesses. We are Jesus's witnesses. And the apostles and the early church, they witnessed and testified about Jesus. They met in Jesus' name. Healing was done in Jesus' name. And so today we are sending those out to be the witnesses of Jesus in accordance to the Scripture. But today I want to talk to you about a cult, a group that believes they're a Christian group, but it's actually false teaching, known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I would rather tell you what I'm for than what I'm against, but I understand that the Bible teaches us also about false teachers and the need to be prepared. And so with that in mind, we remember the words of the Lord Jesus when He said, "Beware of false prophets, beware of false teachers." The Bible speaks much about false teachers and false prophets. He says, "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And you will know them by their fruits." Well, what in the world does that mean? You'll know a false prophet by his fruit. How do you identify a false prophet or a false teacher? By what they teach. That's their fruit. That's their doctrine. All you've got to do to find out if someone's a false teacher is just listen to them. And as they teach, a false teacher is going to teach against the Word, erroneously, not in line with the Scripture that we have. And so Jesus warned us, and He taught us to be prepared. And I want you, as God's people, to be prepared and equipped to handle the Jehovah's Witnesses. How many of you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? Raise your hand. I'm sure every one of you has. In fact, they make it their strategy to make sure they get to every home in the United States at least three times over a certain year period. And so they are very diligent, aggressive, and strategic about their witnessing. I love the fact that I remember going out door to door and being at their door one time. And the lady was caught off guard and said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Jesus witness, and I'm here to tell you what the Bible has to say." And she was caught off guard because they think they're doing that for their salvation. So what are these guys doing? And so I love it when I hear stories. We're at their doors, and I want you to be equipped because I don't want you to be led astray by false doctrine. So we've set aside last week to talk about Mormonism and today to talk about Jehovah's Witness. Now, ultimately, it's the truth of God's Word that's going to protect you. Heard an illustration about how to spot a counterfeit. The Secret Service is charged with the responsibility of identifying counterfeit money, and this is how they train the guys to spot a counterfeit. They put them in a room with the real deal, real actual money. And these guys, they bend it, they feel it, they touch it, they smell it, they taste it, they look at it, they stare at it. They spend so much time with the real deal that by the time they actually go out and a counterfeit comes across their way, they can spot it just like that. And the same is true for believers. We should spend so much time acquainted with the truth of God's Word, that when something false comes across our path, when we hear something false, a false teacher, we can spot it just like that and say, "Hey, where does the Bible say that? Is that what the Bible teaches?" And we want to take the Bible and press it up against these cults and find out if indeed they are in line with Scripture. And I think you'll find out today very clearly that the Jehovah's Witness and the Watchtower Society, which is their authority, their headquarters, is not in line with Orthodox biblical Christianity that we find revealed in God's Word. So let me talk to you a little bit about their history, their founders. I want to talk to you about the Watchtower Society, that's their authority, and the New World Translation, that's their Bible, and some of the peculiar beliefs and doctrines that they have had over the years. Now, there is no way that I'm going to be able to articulate all of their beliefs and doctrines and peculiar instances that they've had over the years, but I want to give you a brief overview. So if you're listening, say amen. And here we go. The Watchtower Society and the Jehovah's Witnesses began with Charles Taze Russell. He was the father of what is now the modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses. At the age of 17, Charles Russell, he heard convincing arguments that hell did not exist and that fit what he wanted to believe, and he didn't believe many of the doctrines of Scripture, and so he began his own Bible class in 1870 at the age of 18. In 1879, Russell took over another company and began the Watchtower Publication, which is what it's referred to as today, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And the Watchtower Society began, and it began in 1884, incorporated as Zion's Watchtower Tract Society. In 1893, they had their first major convention in Chicago. 360 showed up and 70 baptisms. In 1909, Russell, his wife, divorced him, and he moved his headquarters from Pittsburgh to Brooklyn, where it is currently stationed now, the Watchtower Society in Brooklyn. I drove past it and saw it for myself last summer. Now, he would pass away in 1916, and there was a lack of leadership, and several groups splintered off after the passing of their founder. But just a few years later, Judge Joseph Rutherford took the organizational reins of it, and he became their leader in 1917. Under his flamboyant leadership, he began the publication ministry to a much more higher level. In 1919, he began the magazine, which they currently still distribute, called Awake. In the 20s and 30s, he implemented the use of radio and phonograph records. In 1933, there were over 400 radio stations that were carrying Rutherford's lectures. In 1931, they actually took on the name the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it was under Rutherford's charismatic leadership that the membership grew from 10,000 people in 1916 to 100,000 people in 1942. In 1942, Judge Rutherford's era ends with his death, and the power was not to one individual as it had been since its beginning, but now the power was vested and currently is in a governing council, the Watchtower Society. Now, some fast facts about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Like Mormons, for the most part, they are very nice and moral people. They believe that they are Christians, and they believe that they are in harmony with what the Bible teaches. Jehovah's Witnesses currently devote 1.4 billion man hours each year spreading their false doctrine. If they're willing to do that much for a lie, how much more so should we be willing to do for the truth? They publish and print more in 6 months than all other Christian denominations, including Catholicism, do in an entire year. Jehovah's Witnesses are a rapidly growing cult. In 1940, there were 58,000 Jehovah's Witnesses in the United States. Now there are well over a million. There are about 7 million active Jehovah's Witnesses in the world today, compared to 96,000 in 1940. Now let me speak to you about the Watchtower Society. Very important to understand this. This is their headquarters. This is their authority, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. I'm abbreviating it as WTS here. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God personally established the Watchtower Society as his visible representative on the earth. They claim that it is through the Watchtower Society and no other that God teaches the Bible to mankind today. Did you get that? Last time I understood, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Doesn't say anything about the Watchtower Society. They say that people cannot correctly understand doctrine apart from the Watchtower Society. Does the Bible say that anywhere? No. But the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit will come and He will guide you into all truth. And so they are twisting and manipulating the Scriptures. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Watchtower Society is God's lone voice, a prophet. Watchtower Society is God's prophet for God to speak and interpret Scripture on God's behalf. Now, you see that I have their own sources documented there, and I'm not going to read it each time, but you see it there, and these notes will be online as well. They say, and I quote, "Is it not the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society the one and only channel which the Lord has used in dispensing His truth continually since the beginning of the harvest period?" They think they're the source of truth. Now, the Bible is God's revealed word, and it says nothing about the Watchtower Society, but listen carefully to what they say. They said it's been dispensing truth since the harvest period. Well, if the Jehovah's Witnesses began in the late 1800s, are we to assume that there was no Christian voice, there was no truth, there was nobody saved, there was no salvation? All the writings and testimonies that we have during that period from the time of Christ up until the Jehovah's Witness began in the late 1800s, that they were all false and there was no salvation? Well, yes, obviously according to them, for they say there is no salvation apart from the Watchtower Society. They say, and I quote, "Jehovah's organization alone in all the earth is directed by God's Holy Spirit or active force." Jehovah's Witnesses are expected to obey the Watchtower Society as the voice of God. Now, this is the average Jehovah's Witness that are going out knocking on doors. They report to and are in submission to and are expected to obey without question the Watchtower Society. They state this: "We must recognize not only Jehovah God as our Father, but His organization, the Watchtower Society, as our mother." Not found anywhere in Scripture. The Watchtower, they say, is an organization to direct the minds of God's people. Although we read in John that that's the job of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that there is no accurate knowledge of God and no salvation apart from the Watchtower Society. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that it is through the columns, the writings of the Watchtower and their publications, that Jehovah, God Himself, provides direction and constant scriptural counsel to His people. The Watchtower claims that, and I quote, "Unless we are in touch with this channel of communication that God is using, the Watchtower Society, we will not progress along the road to life, no matter how much Bible reading we do." Do you hear what they're saying? There's no salvation, there's no sanctification, there's no Bible understanding, there's no teaching. There is nothing that you can do to grow in your faith or even be saved apart from the Watchtower Society. Is that anywhere in the Scripture? No. In fact, there's teaching, obviously, to the contrary. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses are to submit to the teachings of the Watchtower Society because they say it is God's sole visible channel through whom alone spiritual instruction is to come. Now, let me speak to you a little bit about the Watchtower translation. This is their Bible translation, the New World translation of the Holy Scriptures. It was published in 1955. This translation, I have a copy. I've read through it and looked at a lot of the passages, which are questionable to say the least. This translation has manipulated and altered many Bible passages in order to support the Watchtower's theology. I noted two examples there, but there are numerous examples. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says that Jesus is God and that He is the Creator. He created all things and that He sustains all things. Now, what the Jehovah's Witness translation does is it inserts the word otros or other four times in those verses to change the meaning. Because they believe Jesus is not God and that he is a created being, Michael the Archangel, they don't want to do anything that ascribes deity to him. And so, what they do is they say that Jesus created all other things and that all other things were created by him and sustained by him. And what that does is helps their translation to say Jesus was created first by God as an angel and that he in turn created all other things. Many places where they add words or change the words to fit their preconceived doctrinal presuppositions. The New World Translation is basically a systematic rewriting of existing scripture in support of its preconceived doctrinal positions, and it has no scholarly integrity. More on that in a second. Jehovah's Witnesses are trained, don't think for yourselves, don't question, don't criticize, but submit to God and to the Watchtower Society. The Watchtower states, the Bible cannot be properly understood without Jehovah's visible organization in mind. Now, this is what they tell their people. If we have love for Jehovah and for the organization of his people, we shall not be suspicious, but shall, as the Bible says, simply believe all things that the Watchtower brings out, as quoted in their sources. Now, what do reputable, trained Bible scholars in the Greek language say about their translation? Dr. Julius Manti, author of A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, calls the New World Translation a shocking mistranslation. Dr. Bruce Metzger, professor of New Testament at Princeton University, calls the New World Translation a frightful mistranslation, erroneous, and reprehensible. Dr. William Barclay concluded that the deliberate distortion of truth by this sect is seen in their New Testament translation. It is intellectually dishonest. That is the Bible, the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Pretty condemning. Now, the Watchtower Society kept the translation team nameless in order to protect their humility. Dr. Walter Martin, who wrote Kingdom of the Cults and the Christian Research Institute, they sent them a letter asking for the identity of the scholars that translated the book so that they could see their credentials. And that's when they received a letter back saying that they wouldn't reveal them because they wanted to protect their humility. But did you know the third from the top of the Watchtower Society actually got saved? Dr. Walter came in and spoke to him, and he began to understand. He got saved and has proclaimed this testimony in many places over the years. He was saved, and many other Jehovah's Witnesses have been saved. And I'm glad to say there are some Jehovah's Witnesses that go to the church that used to be, I should say, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're here as part of the body of believers at the Creek. They talked about how they heard the truth and how the people here love them and how they got saved and how now they testify about how the Jehovah's Witness is a false religion, how it's a false prophet with false teaching. Now, because of the people who were came out, eventually the names of the translation team became known. And it was discovered that four out of the five men had no Hebrew or Greek training whatsoever. How do you translate without any training in Hebrew or Greek? They only had a high school education. The fifth member claimed to know Hebrew and Greek, but upon examination under oath in a court of law in Edinburgh, Scotland, he failed a simple Hebrew test. Now I want to read with you some of the transcript of that cross-examination that took place on November 24, 1954. And under cross-examination, they asked the gentleman, whose name was Franz, "Have you made yourself familiar with Hebrew?" This is cross-examination in court. He replied, "Yes." "So so that you have a substantial linguistic apparatus at your command? Yes, for use in my biblical work. I think you are able to read and follow the Bible in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Spanish, Portuguese, German, and French. Are you? Yes. Now, the following day, Franz was put on the stand again, and the following interview took place. Changes his tune. You yourself read and speak Hebrew, do you? I do not speak Hebrew. You do not? No. Can you translate that into Hebrew? Which? That. Fourth verse in the second chapter of Genesis. You mean here? Yes. No. I won't attempt to do that. Translation that is condemning for the New World Translation that they call their Bible that has been twisted and manipulated. It is intellectually dishonest. Now, some of the peculiar and failed beliefs of the Watchtower Society, its founder, Charles Russell, you see his gravestone here. It's a pyramid gravestone. And the reason why is because Charles Russell and the Watchtower Society, they taught and believe that the Great Pyramid in Egypt was God's Bible in stone. They taught this for 50 years as truth, from the years 1879 to 1928. But then, after that time, under new leadership, the Watchtower Society changed its position, calling the Great Pyramid Satan's Bible. Let me ask you this. Is a prophet allowed to change their mind? No. Not according to Scripture. That which was once God's Bible, they now call Satan's Bible. And the fallacies continue, much of which I don't have time to share today. But at least four of them I do want to share with you, and that goes in terms of their date setting. In 1874, early in its history, the Watchtower Society claimed that Jesus returned in 1874. And this is what they note in their magazine, Creation. It says, the second coming of the Lord, therefore, began in 1874. Did I miss something? The second coming of the Lord was in 1874? Because we just finished the book of Revelation where it talks about the literal, bodily, physical return of Christ on a white horse with his saints and with the angels, the earthquake, and all the world's going to see him and know that he returns. Well, obviously, they weren't selling that too well, even though they said that Christ's second coming occurred in 1874. And this is embarrassing to them since they are also going to begin claiming that Christ's second coming is going to be in 1914. And this is the cover of their publication from the Watchtower Society, The Prophet of God. They said 1914 would be the year of the second coming of Christ. And they prophesied this, and I quote, 1914 would mark the overthrow of human governments and the full establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth. In 1988, Charles Russell said that within the coming 26 years, all present governments will be overthrown and dissolved. The full establishment of the kingdom of God will be accomplished by the end of 1914. Well, guess what? 1914 came and went, and after many predictions, and the fact that Jesus obviously did not return, there was no governments overthrown, were there? World governments were not dissolved, were they? There was no return of Christ, so they now claim that Jesus did return, but that it was an invisible return. Actually stated, and I quote, Christ Jesus came to the kingdom in 1914, but unseen to men. Apparently, from other writings, he returned to Brooklyn to help get the Tract Society up and going at that time. Now, once again, what happens when a prophet is wrong? Here's one of my favorites, and I'm not trying to bash or belittle, but the Jehovah's Witnesses predicted in 1925 that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would return as princes and live in an estate in San Diego known as Beth Sarim, which is the House of Princes. And they wanted to acquire land and build an estate that was worthy of these great patriarchs so that the world may know that they are aligned with the World Watchtower Tract Society and that it would be a fitting place for them. Under the leadership of Watchtower Society, Judge Rutherford, this prophecy became widely publicized. And there's a picture. You can go see it. Even now, Beth Sarim, this estate in San Diego. Watchtower Magazine said this, and I quote, "This time, there will be no slip-up. Abraham should enter upon the actual possession of his promised inheritance in the year 1925. As the date approached, a 1923 Watchtower issue, and remember, this is the prophet that speaks on behalf of God, the sole voice of God, said, 1925 is definitely settled by the Scriptures. What Scripture? Where in the Scripture does it say anything about 1925 or about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob returning to San Diego to move into an estate built by the Jehovah's Witnesses? Where is that anywhere in Scripture? Yet here is the voice of God. Now, guess what happened in 1925? 1925 comes and goes. Another date came and went. Many Jehovah's Witnesses became disillusioned and left the organization. But guess what? Judge Rutherford moved in. He moved into the estate in San Diego where he would live out the rest of his life. Worked out for him. Since his prophecy didn't come to pass, doesn't it mean the Watchtower Tract Society is a false prophet? Absolutely. Now, lastly, 1975, another big date of prediction. The Watchtower Society continues its erroneous teaching by predicting the end of man's existence on earth in 1975. They taught that Armageddon would occur and that Christ would set up his millennial kingdom in 1975. In a 1966 October edition, the Jehovah's Witness magazine, Awake, stated, "In what year then would the first 6,000 years of man's existence also, and also the first 6,000 years of God's rest day come to an end?" The year 1975. Now, many other publications spoke about this. Another one was reiterated in 1974. It said, "The end of this system is so very near. Is that not reason to increase our activity?" And there was testimonies and documentation of those who were selling land and going into pioneering work and giving up their jobs and vocations, expecting that the end was in 1975. But yet another year came and went, another failed and false prophecy. Let me ask you this. What does the Bible say about false prophecy and how to determine a false teacher, a false prophet? As we talked about the words of Jesus in the beginning, now listen to the words of Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22. God's word says this, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, that prophet shall die." He was to be stoned to death. "And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." Other verses, "You shall not listen to him. He shall be put to death. He is not a prophet at all. For a prophet of God must be right 100% of the time. For God is never wrong and is always right. God never lies. His word is always accurate." Now, another peculiar belief, the 144,000 witnesses that are spoken of in Revelation chapter 7 and also chapter 14 in the book of Revelation. These are, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, referring to them. They ascribe that to themselves. They say it is an elite group. Only those who are born again become part of the 144,000. Only those who will live in heaven are a part of the 144,000. Originally, this was to comprise all of the Jehovah's Witnesses. But when their numbers exceeded 144,000, they couldn't figure it out. They were growing past 144,000, to which Judge Rutherford then explained that there were two classes, those who were the elite class and then those who were of a different class who would live in a paradise on earth during that time. That was his explanation. Again, this is not in harmony with the Scripture. Very clearly, if you remember our teaching through the book of Revelation, the 144,000, it says right there in the text that they're Jews. It even goes to say which tribe of the Jews of Israel that they came from. That is to be interpreted literally. They interpret the 144,000 literally. Why don't they interpret the fact that it says that they're Jews from Israel and there's their tribes? Why don't they understand that to be literal? So again, they've twisted and manipulated the Scripture. Now, very important. Here's what they believe about Jesus Christ. Their beliefs about Christ, that Jesus is not God. Folks, if you get it wrong on your Christology, your understanding of Christ, you're going to get it wrong on everything else. They believe that Jesus is not God, but the Bible clearly teaches that He is God. He has the attributes of deity. He is called Judge. He is Creator. He is eternal. He is immutable. Jesus is called God in the Scripture. After the resurrection, one of His disciples, Thomas, saw Him in John 20:28 and said, "My Lord and my God." To which one Jehovah's Witness answered and said he was just so surprised to see Jesus that he said, "My God." Which when pressed on it, he says that's probably not what the text meant. Obviously so. But what about in Titus 2 where it says, talks about Jesus as our great God and Savior? All the attributes of deity and all the teaching of Scripture points that Jesus is God. But they say, no, He was a created being. He was Michael the archangel. Jesus was the first thing that God created, and He in turn created everything else. The Watchtower Society teaches that there is scriptural evidence, and I quote, scriptural evidence for concluding that Michael was the name of Jesus before He left heaven and after His return. Scriptural evidence? Where? Where does it say anywhere in the Bible that Jesus is Michael? I mean, they don't have, like the Mormons, different books of Scripture. They're supposedly working out of the Bible that we have, though they have now a different translation. But nowhere does it say that Jesus is Michael. In fact, He is not an angel. It teaches us that He is worshipped by the angels in Hebrews chapter 1. About Jesus, the Bible says that He is worshipped. Now, what does the Bible say about God? That we are to worship only God and we don't worship anything else, right? We don't worship anything else but God. Well, Jesus was worshipped at His birth by the wise men. He was worshipped during His ministry. He was worshipped by the disciples. They worshipped Him at the ascension. The angels worship Him. And in every instance where Jesus is worshipped, He received the worship. He didn't do like the angel in Revelation when the angel was worshipped, said, "Stop, don't do that. Worship only God." So Jesus is God. In fact, all of the instances where the word worship in the Greek proskuneo is used to talk about worshiping God the Father, that same word proskuneo is used to talk about worshiping God the Son. But the Jehovah's Witnesses have made this statement about their translation. Anytime the word proskuneo is used about Jesus, it is to be translated as obeisance or honor or to respect. That we honor Jesus, but do not worship Him, for they teach that He is not God. Doctrinal integrity is not found in the New World Translation. Now, did you know this, though? In a history of errors, at one time, the Watchtower Society actually endorsed the worship of Jesus. And many of those who knock on your door will not know this fact, but it is documented in their literature. In 1880, the Watchtower magazine said that to worship Christ in any form cannot be wrong. 12 years later, they said, "Yes, we believe our Lord Jesus, while on earth, was really worshipped, and properly so." But years later, the Watchtower changed its position concerning the worship of Jesus, stating that it is unscriptural for worshipers of the living and true God to render worship to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means everything that took place prior in the first half of their existence was unscriptural. Even when they were saying that they were the prophet, the voice of God, now they're saying that that was all unscriptural. The Watchtower adds, "Do not erroneously conclude that Christians are to worship Christ." Folks, that is completely contrary to the very Word of God. Now, what do they believe about the Holy Spirit? Jehovah's Witnesses, just very briefly, they teach that the Holy Spirit is not God, but rather a force like electricity. Watchtower Society states, and I quote, "The Holy Spirit is not a person, not a personal being. He's not God, and he is not part of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that God uses to accomplish his will. It is not," and notice they say "it," but the Bible says what? "He." He. They say "it" is not equal to God, but "it" is always at his disposal. Now, to sum up, the theology of the Watchtower Society is a theology of denial. Jehovah's Witnesses deny many of the essential core doctrines of the Christian faith. They deny the deity of Christ, that Jesus was a created being, that he is not God. They deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. They say he is not a personal being, that he is not God. They deny the Trinity. They say that it is inspired and originated with Satan. Now, you can clearly establish the deity of the Holy Spirit, the deity of Jesus Christ, and the deity of the Father. And that's where you have the Trinity. Not three gods, but three persons, one God. They often misquote that, saying that we believe in three gods. No, we believe in one God, three persons. They say, well, you know, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. Fair enough. Just because a word isn't there doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Oh, really, they say. Well, yeah, well, how about you guys use the term theocratic kingdom so frequently in your scripture to endorse what you have? Is the word theocratic kingdom found in the Bible? No, it is not. Just because it's not there doesn't necessarily mean that a doctrine doesn't exist. And the doctrine of the Trinity is found and proven in scripture. Now, they deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. They deny hell and eternal punishment, though it was Jesus who taught more about this than any other person. He says that hell was created for Satan and his angels. God doesn't create imaginary places that don't exist for beings that won't go there. You understand that? And so they deny that doctrine. They deny that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They have a works-based salvation. They have some peculiar practices. They are not to participate in blood transfusions, military service, flag saluting, birthdays, holidays, wearing crosses. They believe Jesus died on a torture stake rather than a cross. But hey, avoid these side issues. Don't get caught up in these peripheral issues. And deal with the central issues such as Jesus, his deity, and the salvation that we have through him. I have met with, on many occasions, over the last 20 years with Jehovah's Witnesses, had many conversations, fortunately some with the same person many times, was able to share the gospel with them. And even recently, Emily in our own home met with several and were hoping to make progress with them and to share the gospel with them. One of the things that we talked about was the doctrine of salvation. So what do I have to do to be saved? And he says, I don't really use that language. Now, this was one of their elders that they had brought in. And he says, but if you want to have paradise on earth, since you won't be one of the 144,000 born again, you will have to do these things. And I kept asking, is there anything else? He says, well, you have to take in knowledge, regular Bible study, and you have to obey the commandments of God. I said, what if I fail? He says, well, do your best. I said, is there anything else? He says, yes, you have to do good works, and that includes distributing Watchtower literature. You have to be baptized into the Watchtower Society. Then will I be saved? Well, I don't know. You'll never know. You have to persevere to the end. And then he made this quote. He made this statement quoted below. He says, it is complicated and cannot be answered in one meeting about salvation. It would take many, many meetings over months to teach this, and then even then I couldn't know that I was saved. But what does the Bible teach? You know, the Apostle Paul was asked this very same thing. They asked the Apostle Paul, they said, what must I do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? And in the most concise answer probably found in Scripture to answer that question, the Apostle Paul says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Months and months and then you won't know? No, Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Perhaps you've heard it this way. In John 3:16, God extends a promise to us. He says, for God so loved the world, not the Watchtower Society. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, they will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. He goes on to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. Does the Bible say anything about the Watchtower Society? Not one place. In fact, the Bible says this about a works-based salvation, keeping the law and good works. It says a man is not justified by the works of the law, but he is justified. He is made righteous. He is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified, made righteous by faith in Christ. How many of you here today have put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation? According to the authority of God's Word, you are saved, cleansed, justified, and will spend eternity with God. That's what the Word of God says. That's not consistent with Watchtower teaching. Now, let me close with this. So what should we do? What do we do with this information? Let me give you some words of counsel here. Remember that the Jehovah's Witnesses are not the enemy, but they've been deceived by the enemy. They can be saved. Pray for them. Share the gospel with them. And love them. Reveal the truth about the lies, errors, and history of the Watchtower Society and the New World Translation in the right time, the right place, and in a non-argumentative way so that they will begin to not trust the Watchtower Society, but they will begin to trust Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But folks, listen, you've got to know the truth. You've got to know the Bible. And you also have to know their beliefs and their errors as well. Be Bereans. Study the Scriptures to find out that these things are so. Resist the temptation to prove them wrong, to win the argument. See, you can win the battle, but you can lose the war. And remember that God loves them. Christ loves them and died for them too. We have the truth. You are to know it and to share it in love. I close with this verse. God's Word challenges and commands all of us as God's people, not just for pastors and for elders and deacons, but for all of God's people, we are challenged and commanded to do this, to set apart the Lord God in our hearts, to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, and always be ready to give a defense. That's apologia, apologetics. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And how do we do that? You get your Bible and you beat them over the head with it, right? No! No! Notice what it says. Share. Be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, but do it with gentleness and respect. To love them, to pray for them, to care for them, because Christ loves them too. Now, we have not covered all there is to cover about Jehovah's Witnesses, to be sure. I have a book that I've ordered. There's many copies out on the table out there. It'll help you get you started even deeper. Walter Martin, Kingdom of the Cults, is a good book. Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Last week we had Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Mormons. And so these are great resources for you to have. It will sharpen your doctrine as well as make you aware of the false doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses, so that you might be equipped to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we close, I pray that your people would be equipped, that we would be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Help us to understand and to articulate the truth of your word, the right doctrine. Lord, help us to love people. Help us to care for people, those who are lost, those who are struggling, those who need a hug, a handshake, a kind word. Lord, let us be your ambassadors and your witnesses in this world. Jesus, we are your witnesses you have commanded us to be. Lord, we ask your blessings and grant us favor here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.